You ever wonder about the people in family photos or ever try to ask who these people really were? Every face is a narrow escape or a love story that almost didn't happen. Your family stories are hidden in plain view. You just haven't accessed it yet. There are versions of these rebels and dreamers before life told them who they needed to be. And I'm not talking about the shiny stories everyone knows. I'm talking about the soul-crushing experiences with heartbreaks and real loss. You gotta preserve these stories now. So contact thevietnamstorybank.com today. No polish, just raw, recorded, beautiful history that makes you sit up and hold your breath. We dig it all up, record it, and hand it back to you. Safe, unerased, untouchable, and unforgettable. Don't let silence have the last word. Go to vietnamstorybank.com today. Make sure your family's stories are recorded.
Welcome to the Vietnamese Podcast. I have old friends with me and new friends with me today. Today, we are going to talk about something that's very near and dear to my heart, which is culture and branding. I have T here with Bao Han, husband and wife. And I have Michael Lay.
What's up, guys?
The three of them hosted a wonderful party I went to a week ago. And I can't tell you how special it really was. We'll get into that. But T, why don't we start? Can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, for sure. Hey, guys. My name is T. And I was born in Vietnam. And in 1975, after the war, our family immigrated to Montreal, Canada. So I'm Canadian. Grew up in a environment that was very, very... Francophone, you know, and so the only place that you would learn about Vietnamese was within our household. And then we grew up, and then fast forward, I guess, a few years later, met the wife, moved to America. I think we can get into details later. Yeah. But that's essentially my background. Yeah, I'm a Montrealer, and then moved to the United States around 10 years ago.
Great. Well, T's wife has been on the podcast before, and we have her here today. Bao Han, would you like to do an introduction?
Sure. Hi, everybody. This is Bao Han, and I used to be a singer. I used to be on Paris by Night, so not anymore. I'm originally from, I was born in Vietnam. I grew up in Austria, Vienna, Austria, and where my family still resides. I've been in the U.S. since 1999. I was singing for a while, and then I had to stop in 2010 because I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease before that. And then, I met my soulmate, and we've been doing stuff together for the
past. Hustle and bustle.
Yes.
Hi guys, my name is Michael. I was born in 2000, so I'm a 2000s baby. Year of the dragon.
Wow.
I was born in Florida, and I lived there most of my life, and I moved to LA in 2020. Most people know me from social media, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. A lot of people know me from my family, and then my dancing. I do a lot in the K-pop space, a lot in just the dance space in general. But this year, I've kind of broken out to do like a lot of different things, more kind of focusing on the entrepreneur route. And basically a year ago, that's where I met T and we started this amazing project, or he brought me onto this amazing project. And I guess, you know, that's kind of why we're here to chat about.
Yeah. You know, let's start with the event. Before we even start with the event, I wanted to say that, Han, you gave a speech that I think has gone viral. I think it's over a million hits now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. So if you guys have seen this speech that Han gives on stage, she talks about how T and her met in the early days, and you read an excerpt of a book, and it's the most moving thing. So if you guys see it on social media... It was born of this event, this night that you guys put together. So can you tell me what that evening was all about?
The evening was about, I think, a love letter to Bao Han. I think at the core of what we're trying to do with Saigon Bon Bon is it was inspired 100% with Baohan, you know. One of the things that I was talking about during the evening was about vows and promises, right? When we get married, we make all these promises to our loved ones, right? We talked about to richer or poor, to sickness and in health. And when we say these vows in sickness and in health, we say because they tell us to say it, but we don't truly understand what that means until we actually live it. And for me, obviously, with Baohan, with Parkinson's, it's a reality that I see every day. And from the moment that she wakes up to the moment that she sleeps, you see the struggles, you see the difficulties. And as a husband, you don't know, you know, you become like helpless. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to help. And the one thing that it's always constant in my case is you choose to love her. You continue to love her no matter what. And one of the things that's really, really fascinating and really great about Baohan is even though she has Parkinson's, she has a health issue, she doesn't let it run her life. She doesn't let it take over. She had to retire from Paris by Night. So she was, you know, she was probably at the peak of her career when she had to retire. So you could imagine how hard that must have been for somebody that has been on stage all her life. And pretty much that's your passion, babe. It's what you know. It's how she connects with her fans. And to be able to be in a situation where you have to let go must have been very difficult. And I wouldn't know half of how she felt. But if you see her on an everyday basis, Kenneth, you would not know that. Because she still lives life to the fullest. And every day she wakes up, she's positive. Every day, though I see her struggle, sometimes she can't even pull up her pants or she can't even shower and wash her hair. But she doesn't care because her philosophy is, I'm alive. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing. You know, even though my health is not 100%, I have an opportunity to really do other things. If I can't sing anymore, I'll find something else mm-hmm. that's going to keep me alive and positive. And for me, that is so inspirational. And so through what she's accomplished as an artist, what she's accomplished as a human being was very touching for me. So I go, I want to like somehow acknowledge that, you know,
yeah.
through what she's accomplished. And while she was performing, not only did she entertain people through her music, her performance on stage, but one thing that I think that goes unnoticed is that she connected with the community. And that, I think, we have to give credit to the entertainment body that is Paris by Night. You know, like if we have to go back to the war and at post-war, Vietnamese people living in America didn't have a source of entertainment or some kind of nostalgia component in order to remind them of the country that we have left, right? So for me, it was her role was to be able to reach out and to educate, but also entertain and teach us about what our history was about. And somehow in there, she connected with her fans very well on this deep emotional level. And I remember whenever, you know, when we first dated and I would go to a concert and then I would see her fans talking to her, one thing that always comes out was, Chi Baohan, the only reason why I watched Paris by Night is because of you, because I connected with you. I felt proud to be Vietnamese because the way you express yourself on stage, the way you sang, the way you connect with your fans, you're very human. And that stuck to me. So I go, I'd like to take that DNA of what she embodies. Can I make that into something? And I think that's where a bit of how Saigon Bonbon came about. So this love letter, this promise, and kind of like a thank you note for Baohan for doing what she's done for the past 40 years on stage, you know?
So you talk about this name, Saigon Bonbon. Where does that come from?
So Saigon Bonbon. We're selling gummies, but I don't think that's what we want to be. right? But at the core, if you want to analyze what Saigon Bon Bon is, obviously, Saigon is the way we describe us being proud to be Vietnamese. The Bon Bon side has a lot of historical component to it. So we all know that Vietnam was part of French colonies. And if you look at all our food and all our culture, very much everything is based from the French, from our banh mi to the baguette to the pâté to everything, right? So for me, it was kind of cool to be able to see if there's a way that we can demonstrate or showcase our history and our heritage through the name. And it just happened that bonbon, I'm French, I'm from Montreal, means candy. And it has kind of like a word, a play of words with Saigon, bonbon, so it kind of rhymes. So yeah. Hence the name Saigon Bonbon.
Beautiful. I love the heritage that you bring up. I want to know how the young people are connected to this brand, because we have Michael here from a different generation. And I think that our generation, these Gen Xers are, you know, we come from a totally different place of culture. And how did you, when you first heard of the idea of it, what made you sign on?
I mean, it was a couple of things. I think for me, so the reason I started social media was because I was inspired by the early YouTubers like Ryan Higa. I always talk about him. He's one of my like inspirations that really made me realize that like you could kind of turn really anything, your passion, you know, what you just wanted to do into a career. And back in the day, you know, social media, dancing wasn't really looked at as a serious thing. And for me, both of my parents, they own nail salons. They were always like entrepreneurs. And I felt like I just naturally got that. And I wanted to kind of pursue my own passions as a career, whether or not it failed, just because it was something that I was proud to do. And my core message that I always believed in when I started social media since 2015 was I want to inspire people to realize that, you know, no one's better than them. They can really do whatever they set their minds to, and just inspire them and kind of like set a new generation of like, hey, like, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to see what happens. And if other people, you know, and if it works out, then amazing. And I really hope that people see that they're not limited to just what their peers or other people tell them to that, you know, it's possible for them. So when they approached me, it was about last year, he was telling me their story. And obviously I was like super touching, because I feel like that was, it resonated a lot with me. And then the branding of Saigon Bon Bon itself, and the message of being able to kind of put my, what I've built, and also build something with like a really amazing legacy to, again, inspire others and really shine the attention on the AAPI, the community. I was like, this is perfect. Also 2000s. So I'm Year of the Dragon. So I saw the Chinese Lion. I was like, oh, this is so perfect. So just the visual, the branding of it, everything that he kind of presented, it was kind of like, he had this polished kind of thing that he like showcased to me. And I was like, yeah, of course, like, why wouldn't I want to support this? You know? So right. I just felt like there was a lot of synergy. Of course, like, them as people, I'm very big energy person too. So I just felt like when we had our first conversations, it felt very natural. It felt like they were already family. So I was like, oh yeah, like this is something I really wanted to kind of get into. And that's kind of what like sold me.
Yeah. You know, arguably Paris by Night is one of our biggest exports, but it's still internal. It's still Vietnamese to Vietnamese, right? Globally. But we don't really, I mean, do we? Let me know. Talk to me. Do we have a bigger brand that moves from within the Vietnamese world to, I mean, VinFast is probably one example, but do we have other examples of that? And why don't we? Mm-hmm. If we don't, I mean, why don't we have more? If, I mean, I don't know if you guys know of any, but yeah. I want to hear it.
It's funny that you say that, because one of the things for me as a guiding principle when we created Saigon Bon Bon was exactly that, actually, what you're talking about. I mean, if we take a couple of steps back, I think our generation, you talked about Gen X, when we came here after the war as immigrants, the way our parents taught us, they were in survival mode, right? Literally. So basically is survive, trying to get integrate yourself in society and just make sure that our kids will have a better life. That's pretty much what Gen X is, right? Our generation. And so it wasn't about expression. It wasn't about being vocal or expressing yourself. It's like, you know what? Just keep quiet, work in your cubicle. You don't even need to have managerial positions. Just do as told and just try to fit in and just do your job. And hopefully by doing this, the next generation of kids will be able to have a better life. You know, I remember my dad, I mean, you know, as one example, and I'm sure that this story is hundreds and thousands of times, my dad was working at two different jobs. You know, when he was in Vietnam, he was a lieutenant colonel. My mom was a lawyer. But when they came here, they had nothing. They were just taking care of their four children. My dad was working at a motel. He was doing two jobs and going to school at the same time. My mom had to sacrifice and said, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to take care of the children. You know, so they're in survival mode. So there was a certain ideology that we have to, while we're in a different country, we still needed to protect who we are in terms of culture, understanding that is. And that was well done internally within our homes, right? Whether it's through food, whether it's through music, whether it's through education and talk about how life was before the war. So all these things we got to be able to understand that.
Yes, I'm sorry. So ahead, it was a survival mode, as you were saying, survival mode. But I think at the same time, they were trying to convince us kids to watch First Benign because that's their the attempt to preserve our culture. So watching Paris Benai was for me like in the beginning when I first started Paris Benai, and I was young, I didn't watch it. I'm like, I don't want to watch it. But I understood later on what the intention was. Attention, what Paris Benai was trying to do, as well as what my parents were trying to do. They wanted us to watch it because you can learn from that. You can learn. We're living in this. You know, we live in all over the world. We are spread all over the world. And so the only way for us to preserve the culture, the only way for us as kids, the next generation, to keep that is to watch Paris Benai. And because that's how they educate us. They, Zhong Yunglan was, you know, telling stories and you know, so that's how I learned about my culture. And so because of that, I would say that's what laid the, you know, the foundation for me to do the same thing, to, you know, to preserve the culture in terms of preserving the culture for the next generation. And that's where he comes in, because we, you know, we wanted to do this for the next generation, because we wanted to find a way. But again, like you said, Paris Benai, but now with Sagamambang, which is hopefully going to be a platform for cultural representation and, you know, and just, you know, preserving, you know.
I totally agree with what you're saying, babe. And I think that's where you know, that was us, Gen X, right? Mm-hmm. So fast forward now, 2026, we're talking about second, third generation of Vietnamese. They didn't grow up with what we went through. And they're totally different now. Look, I mean, Michael is Exhibit A, right? Full of life, full of expression. We're not in traditional jobs anymore, right? We're not, you know, necessarily the nail salon owners or the doctors or the pharmacists. We are now dancers, singers, chefs, graphic designer, fashion designer. It's great. Mm-hmm. And we need to celebrate that and not put a stop. You know, I think our role has evolved as well, too, from a Gen X perspective, is that before I get why mom and dad protected our culture, because we were in a new country and it was, you know, there was the unknown. Now that we've gone through generation two and three, what I believe and what I want Saigon Bonbon to become is now unleash this talent, unleash this way of the next generation, how they're going to express themselves. Because we're not there to lead anymore. We're just there to give them guidance, tell them this is what we've gone through, why it matters. But other than that, let them express themselves. And that's where I think, to answer your question, I mean, we did like a whole 360. To answer your question, how I see Saigon Bonbon as a brand, I think we may be one of the few first ones to say, or what I want to Saigon Bonbon to become is, you know what, Vietnamese American in 2026, we hear you. Mm-hmm. We know you.
Okay, I'm going to go a little deeper I'm going to take it from there, but I'm going to ask you, Michael, you've toured with the K-pop community, you're in that music space. Why is this even important for Vietnamese people to be put on the map?
I mean, I feel like out of all the Asian representation, I mean, it's kind of, luckily for me, I'm very happy and proud that Asian in general, AAPI, like in the last few years, has really started being pushed forward now. And I feel like people are starting to really realize us. And for me, just being Vietnamese, I haven't seen that many people to represent other than me and maybe a few others until maybe like, honestly, like last year, this year. And I really wanted to just feel proud of like where I came from and just, you know, the whole culture in general of like how my parents and grandparents grew up as well, and kind of showcase that in a more of a forefront light. So I think it was just more of me being like, yeah, this is an amazing opportunity. Like why not? There was just, yeah.
Michael is one of the pioneers. And
the pioneers of what?
Of expressing and evolving what it means to be Vietnamese American. I think he's like one of the pioneers. Yeah. What Saigon Bon Bon or we want to accomplish, why don't we create a platform to have more Michaels? Mm-hmm. Why don't we give them the opportunity? Michael was a pioneer, be able to, you know, break barriers in the realm of the Michelle fans of the world and so forth. So, but others don't feel like they had an opportunity to give that. So why don't we give them this platform to create it, right?
I got to say something though, because the reason why T and I wanted him so badly on the board, because it's the story, you know, of we were so touched by, you know, the story that you were telling me.
Yeah, for sure. So
that's what makes him so Vietnamese.
So this is me sending flowers to Michael now, okay? And we all know Michael as the superstar dancer, one of the top TikTokers in the world, the top Vietnamese, over 50 million followers, you know, for sure. What really struck a sensitive nerve to me, the reason why I approached you, Michael, and I think I told you that before, is beyond the 50 million followers, I was watching a YouTube video and you did an interview and you talked about your mom. You talked about your family and you talked about how in your wildest dreams, you want to become the provider for them. And I remember there was a quote somewhere in there and you said, "Mom, just stay home. I don't want you to do nails anymore. Just stay home. I'll take care of you. You know, you already worked so hard in the last year to raise all the kids. Why don't you just take a break? I'll take care of you." For me, coming from a second or third generation Vietnamese, you know what that showed me, Kenneth?
Yeah.
It showed me that even though he thinks he's whitewashed, that he grew up here and hang around with non-Asian, just those values shows me that he grew up in a Vietnamese family because he cared for family, that family values was more important than anything else. And I'm sure you did it unconsciously, Michael, without even knowing that what you just said in that interview or what you really believed in was really a core value of what being Vietnamese is.
Right? So there's a million different ways to promote our culture. Why this? Why this form?
Yeah, I agree.
Saigon Bon Bon. This is what it looks
this like. This is the plug, right? This is where we do product placement.
Why this product? And then we'll get into what it is.
Yeah, Baohan and I always play games in terms of, we always do top fives of everything. Your top five artists, your top five music genre, and then obviously top five foods. Unanimously, whenever we do the voting, number one is always Vietnamese. And again, if we want to focus on the reason why, it's because we grew up with that, you know? My dad, so this was the arrangement. I don't know how it was in your family. In my family, the arrangement was during the week, my dad is Hue, so he would cook family style Hue. So there's always gan, the car, and then the weekend they switch roles. Mom would do a soup that would last Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So she would do pho, bún tiêu. My personal favorite my mom does is mì Việt Tiên, so duck soup. And that would be the trade-off. But every day we would have Vietnamese food. So my direct exposure to Vietnamese culture was through food. And for me, that was just a natural way for me to bring the brand to life. And the best way to connect with everybody is through food. It's a social event. Mm. Everybody's gathered around. It's a shareable event. It's one of those activities that you can just enjoy it and have everybody participate. So the other reason is because this girl here loves gummies. Yeah. She grew up, you know, you can say it too. You grew up in Germany, in Austria.
So I grew up with Haribo. Haribo was...
So you guys know Haribo.
Yeah, yeah.
You can ask anybody. Funny, because when the word was spread, was bringing that we are having gummy bears, launching gummy bears. I think majority of my friends text me, they go, "This is so you." I'm like, "I can't believe this. Why did it take you so long?" Because you are the gummy bear queen. You are the gummy bear queen. So they call me that. So I'm like, "Oh, okay. I guess people knew about this." So I love gummy bears. I grew up Haribo, but when I was younger, obviously I was able to eat as much as I wanted. Now not so anymore, because I got diagnosed with supposedly pre-diabetic, but that was like 5 years ago. I think I'm diabetic by now. So it's, yeah. So I was told not more anymore. Done. It's like, even when I told my parents, I told my dad that we're launching gummy bear, he goes, "Why would you do that? Too much sugar." That's the first thing he wrote. He goes, "No, too much sugar." I go, "Dad, it's low sugar." And then he didn't respond. Yes.
So when my father-in-law was talking about health things, I go, "Okay, well, let's make a gummy," mm-hmm. "but a gummy that's healthy." Mm-hmm. And if you look around the trends these days as well, too, not only for Bauhun, obviously for Bauhun, but also for everybody else, everybody's very concerned. Everybody's very aware.
I'm a diabetic.
Right? And everybody's aware. So you know. So everybody's aware that what they put in the body, yeah, is important. So everybody's checking now. There's apps now. You can go in grocery, yeah, stores and scan the UPC code to see whether or not it's healthy. So for us, as part of our core DNA, it was important not only that the product tastes good, that the cool flavors, you know, we can talk about the flavors later on, but it was really important that we produce something that's high quality, that is healthy, mm-hmm. That uses natural ingredients, and that doesn't harm the body. So that was one of the criteria for us.
So obviously because you knew I loved gummy bears, and now to take that away from me, I felt like that's what I said, "Why are you taking it away from me? One thing in life that I still enjoy, you taking it away from me." So
yeah,
that's why.
So I don't do product interviews and conversations, mm-hmm. ever, really. I mean, I have sponsors like Red, yeah, Boat and VinFast.
Nice.
And casinos. But the reason I wanted to do this, because it's very near and dear to my heart, this idea of branding, mm-hmm. the culture. And the shape, mm-hmm. of these gummies is what makes me really exciting. It's so cute. Mm-hmm. And to replace the idea of gummy bears, with lun is so special and specific. Tell me how that came about.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm giving credit to Bauhun a lot, but it is about Bauhun. You know, we a few minutes ago we were talking about how she celebrates life every day when she wakes up, even though there's Parkinson's or health issues, and she lives life to the fullest. So I love telling stories when I feel like in my past, you know, I'm a marketing brand guy in my, you know, I've been doing this for 25 years. I've always been exposed to brands where you would have a product and you have all these features and then you try to find meaning through the brand. And I got sick of that. I go, I want to do the reverse. I want to have meaning first and then create a product based out of something that's meaningful. So for this, particularly, I wanted to showcase that contradiction of what Gong Leng represents. Gong Leng, we all know, is about celebration, about prosperity, is about luck. We see him during Dat Jong To, during weddings, during store openings. So special occasions.
Celebrations, yeah.
Special occasions, right? So when I see Bauhun every day celebrating life to the fullest, I go, do we have to wait for special occasion to celebrate? Do we have to wait for something special to happen to wake up and say, today is the best day of my life? So the use of the lung is actually a contradiction of what he's supposed to stand for, or she's supposed to stand for. I'm saying is that I want to have a lung every day in my life to remind me that every day is a reason to celebrate in honor of Baohan. So every time you're going to open a bag and you're going to see that, that's your reminder. And that's a reminder for everybody that's going to enjoy this gummy. Let this guy be a celebration every day, not just on special occasions. Hence the reason why we had a lot.
It's awesome. I love the meaning and I love the flavors because my favorite of the batches has been tamarind, spicy tamarind.
Mango, spicy mango.
Because I just love this flavor profile so much.
Yeah.
How did you guys develop this stuff?
Do you want to go or do you want me to go?
Go ahead. You did.
So I guess we'll start with the spicy mango tamarind. So again, part of our DNA, we want everything. Food is so important for the Vietnamese culture, right? And what I find that very unique about the Vietnamese cuisine, it touches all the taste buds. Meaning, there's salty, there's sweet, there's sour, there's bitter, there's umami, there's spicy. So, you know, it's an explosion of flavor. And I think that's why we love it. That's why it's on top of our list, right, babe? So I wanted our collection, or at least the introductory collection of our lineup of flavors, to represent that.
Mm.
This whole explosion of flavors that touches all the taste buds. So the one that you're holding right now,
in my mouth.
Yeah, it's gone. Is a tribute to street food that we used to see in Vietnam. So it's a xoài muối ớt, mm-hmm. right? So you would dip it in and have that thing. So we wanted to recreate that and have a little twist, add a little bit of tamarind, which is maya, mm-hmm. to have that little nice sourness to it, so that as you can see, all our flavors are going to be combos. So that's one thing that we wanted to make it really special, is that it's never going to be just one flavor. It'd be a combo, just because, you know, just like our Vietnamese flavors, it's an explosion. So this one here in particular has that little spicy kick to it at the end. And it's it'll be great, you know, if you guys have a chance to try it.
When I tried it first too, I was shocked because like, and it's wild, like the spice is at the end.
It was the weirdest thing.
I was like, this is crazy. Like, that was the other thing.
You know what my dream was to, like, you know when people describe when they have a glass of wine, like the first taste and the aftertaste? Yeah.
Like, it's like
that.
A little mellow.
Yeah.
A little deeper.
So I'd love for people to describe our gummy that way. So that's the first one. So again, tribute to Vietnamese cuisine. The second one, I'm not sure which one you have there. All right, so that one here is a main staples in terms of one of our favorite Vietnamese fruits that's available in Vietnam is lychee, so which is trái vải.
Mm-hmm.
And now this one here, just like a bit of what we're trying to do with Michael, is that how do we modernize this?
Mm-hmm.
So, we, you know, just lychee itself is good, but let's do a little tweak to it to make it modern, to make it different. So we decided to add this botanical floral side of it, which is bom hom, which is rose. And again, you know, bom hom is a very thing. We usually have it in tea. So I thought it'd be a nice combination. Try it out. And I think from what I've seen so far, that is probably one of the favorites as well, too.
Yeah.
This combination of lychee and rolls.
It's like the easiest and like gateway for people because it's like, oh, I've had lychee stuff before.
You're right. And then finally, the last one, it's my personal favorite. For me, it was like mandatory that it had to be part of our introductory. One of my indulgences in life is Vietnamese desserts. And the jazz of the world, the ban, yalang, and all this stuff, right? And so the two big ingredients, if you guys know in the Vietnamese culture, is coconut and pandan.
Mm-hmm.
So yu la yu. For me, it's like the best thing in the world. So for me, it was very important to be able to represent yu la yu, coconut pandan in a gummy shape. Hence our interpretation.
It's so crazy because when I think about all the flavors, the word gui fai mm-hmm. comes to my mind.
Oh,
elegant.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's nice. Thank you.
Very elegant flavors that comes to my mind. Yeah. Gui fai.
So
it's not, it doesn't hit you over the head. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite candies is gel omai.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And omai is brutal. It's like, it's tough. It's in your face. You have licorice and you have sometimes ginger and all these like peels.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually strong. It's really strong, right? It's really strong. And they're little balls that are really rough.
Yeah.
But this one reminds me of omai flavor, but the gui fai.
Wow.
version of it. Nice. Yeah. So look, I'm not here to sell. I'm here because, Bauhan and I have, we've known each other for a long time, and I really love the story of what T and Michael are bringing to the world. And I especially believe in the branding aspect, which people ask me, why do I do the podcast? And as a young boy, I always was ashamed and embarrassed of my Vietnamese heritage. Yeah. And I always said to myself, one day the young people will walk out of an airport, whether they're in Vienna or Argentina or Korea, they will feel a sense of pride being Vietnamese. And I think we are about to get to that point.
The funny thing that you say, because I remember when I was in high school, I brought a lychee to school. And Austria is, at the time, of course, a long time ago, they were not really exposed to Asian fruits or Asian foods as much as they are today. I remember bringing a lychee to the school, and they all asked me, what is that? So their face is like, what is that? So I go, it's a fruit. It's an Asian fruit. It's lychee. So at least I know now that we can, if that happens to the next generation, we just give them that back and take that to school. So you will, everybody will love you. They were not going to meet the face. What is that? So just let them eat that, and then you will know.
And you know, there's a lot of truth to what you're saying, because when you hand a product over and you say, you'll know, it's packed with culture. It's packed with so much history.
That's right.
In the flavors that we're consuming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it makes me very proud to hear this story.
If I can add to that, I think that growing up here, you're not the only one. Like what you just expressed, I felt it as well too. You know, until my first trip back to Vietnam, and that kind of like turned my values and pretty much my life around. You know, so I get it, and I think we're not the only ones. We all went through that as children of immigrant parents coming here in a country. You know, maybe these generation understand it less because they felt it less, but we felt it a lot because we were the only ones.
Yeah,
everybody else around us was not Asian, so we felt almost like forced to become assimilate to the point where we lose our identity. Right?
Yeah, I feel like even with me, like growing up, I felt like there wasn't anything for me to necessarily be proud of. Like, like media, like mainstream media, like I felt like Asians were always kind of like more of like the jokes of like media. Like we were never genuinely taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in the last, honestly, just like even the last 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years.
Like I feel like it completely flipped. And now like people are really realizing like, we're not the stereotype Asians that you guys think we are. You know?
Do play more than tourists and the martial arts that is on TV.
The stereotypes.
So I feel like in the last 5 years, a lot has really changed. And then, of course, like our the brand slogan that he told me, I was like, wow, this is crazy. This is our flavor. Mm-hmm. And for me, coming from the dance world, we have this thing that we call our own sauce. You know, as a dancer, we have our own sauce. We have our own thing.
No, I didn't even know.
So it felt so like synergistic of like, this is crazy. Like we get to now actually showcase, you know, the culture that we have, that we've grown up with, that people have like no idea really about. And obviously the platform that I've built, I want to be able to not only just showcase it, but also even learn and educate myself as I'm building this. And I just feel like it was just a really cool message and story. Everything was connected. It was really, really thought out. And it was
amazing. So both of you, all three of you have said the word platform a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think of gummy London heads, I don't think of platform, right? But there's a reason why you guys keep bringing a platform, right? So I want to hear like what that vision for the future, why is this a platform, and what does that actually mean when you guys use the word platform in a conversation like this?
If I may start.
Yeah.
So the party last week that you attended, there was this magical moment that I witnessed. And then I saw it again on social media, I think. And that moment was young creators, young Vietnamese creators, going up to Paris by Night singers, like Bao Han, like Chup Linh, Chup Lam, Ki Kui Zin, and in awe.
It was crazy to watch that.
It was, like I'm talking about it right now, and I'm getting shivers. And you know why? And I'm not exaggerating. You know why?
Because they weren't even born when these people were like on stage.
And that's exactly it. And that's why I was very dumbfounded and surprised to see that reaction. And, you know, I was listening to one of the young creators talking to you, babe.
Yeah.
And they're saying, Tibauhan, like, I've been in admiration for you all my life. I've seen you, you know, and I admire you. And I can't believe this is the first time that I've had an opportunity to talk to you. And this is life-changing. This is so fun. I like to exchange. So that moment, Kenneth, is my platform. That moment for me was magical because intentionally or unintentionally, we're creating a bridge between Gen X and Gen Z. And that bridge, for me, is key to what defines Saigon Bon Bon. Beyond candy, beyond anything that we'll sell, how do we connect with Gen Z in a way that they respect the traditions while evolving? And how do we give a hand? We're not there to preserve anymore. We're there to let them grow. Mm-hmm. I think the best analogy would be, you know, if you look at a tree or something, we are the roots. And these guys are the flowers and the branches that grow. Let them grow. But as long as their foundation is good and we'll keep on providing them with that guidance and why it matters, the rest is up to these guys to do it. And that's the platform that I want to create. More exchanges between our generation and their generation for them to be proud of who they are. They need to look up to us in a certain way for guidance, but not to lead anymore. That's the difference that I find, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you get what I'm saying that, Michael, right?
Before I just saw you took. So you have this. I want to know your genuine.
I didn't have this, and you told me not to.
I was like, wait, I don't want you to try it yet, because obviously, pandan.
But I was like amazing. Trying to. I was like, before I put it in my mouth, I was thinking, does this fall in line of the Guifi? Mm. And it falls right in line with it.
So funny.
It's very elegant. The taste is so elegant.
So
I shouldn't even be eating these.
It's
healthy.
It's crazy too, because like I actually didn't even know truly what pandan was. And then I realized a dessert I used to grow up eating was pandan. It was like the green worm.
Yeah,
exactly.
With
like the coconut milk.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite desserts. I didn't even know that was
so good.
Exactly. I remember when you tried it, when we brought it to you, you tried it, and the first thing you said, this reminds me of something I've eaten before. It's something like a dessert.
My childhood.
Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah. I was like, no way.
Pandan is so many different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot, every Asian specifically, they're always this like this.
Yeah. You know what they call it? They call it like the Eastern Asian vanilla. That's what they refer to.
It's very light.
Because it's in every flavor. It's light, but it's there.
Yeah. It's there.
So this is what I want to do. I want to ask Michael, because Michael has not been to Vietnam yet. And then I'm going to ask you to come back on the podcast to do a podcast with you after you come back.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. We can do that, right? So before you leave to Vietnam, what are your thoughts? What do you think is going on over there?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then will you take a bag of this back to Vietnam?
Yeah. For me, Vietnam's always been somewhere I've wanted to visit. It's interesting because my grandparents, they were like, oh, don't go back because like the government or whatever it is. I don't know if it was just because like they haven't researched it. But I was like, okay, like I'll just kind of put it on the side. Like I don't know what's going really on there. So I was pretty just uneducated. I was like, all right, I'll go there eventually. And then as of recently, more people are just starting to talk about it, and I'm like, like, what's going on in Vietnam? Like, what do you mean? And, like, just a couple weeks ago, I found out Vietnam was, like, one of the, number one Asia country that grew out of all of the Asian countries. I was like, no freaking way.
Yeah.
And I started looking into it, and I've seen how beautiful it is. And I've also seen, like, how, it's the number one, I ChatGPT'd it too. It's the number one country that, like, stretches your dollar out, like, for its value.
Absolutely.
And I was like, this is insane. Like, I have to go. So I just started recently traveling, and in my head, I'm just like really excited. Like, obviously I want to have someone that kind of knows that we're around as well, but I really want to just be able to fully experience.
Right here.
When was the last time you went?
2 years ago. So we go back every 2 years.
Okay.
My best friend lives there. So we're, you know, we kind of spoiled. We have people to take care of us.
Okay.
But, you know, I was telling you before, my, I hope you're going to have the same impact as I did.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to Vietnam, I believe, around 2007 or 2008 for the first time, right? So I was born in Vietnam. I was 2 years old. We left in 75. And then fast forward 40 odd years later, I got to go back. And let me tell you, Michael, I went there with no expectations because I had other, I had no memory or recollection other than stories that mom and dad used to tell us and how it was. So that's the only visual memories that I have. So I remember I was the, we did a pit stop in Bangkok. So I'm waiting at Bangkok to go to Saigon. And then it says Ho Chi Minh City. So I go, oh, it's happening. You know, I'm going to be there in a few hours.
That's crazy.
So the minute I laid foot down at the airport for the first time, because at that point, I was still in Montreal. I was still in Canada. So I've never seen Little Saigon or Bel Air in Houston. So I've never been exposed to so many Vietnamese people in my life. So I got off at the airport, went to pick up my luggage, and everything was in Vietnamese. Everybody was speaking Vietnamese. I was overwhelmed with emotions. It kind of like that feeling where you go, I'm home. In a weird kind of way, because like you, I didn't really identify as Vietnamese growing up.
Yeah.
But somehow, this magic moment, the minute that I stepped down at the airport, and I hope you feel that way too, or something in that line, everything changed. My whole perception about being Vietnamese changed that moment. I remember the first, it was food again, right? So food seems to be a common denominator here. I had a bowl of soup on the street, on those stools, those plastic stools. And that moment, I got emotional. I started bawling. I started crying. For no reason. And I don't understand, until this day, I don't understand why I cried. But
that happens to a lot of people.
Everything, all the emotions, Michael and Kenneth, it got to me. It overwhelms me, you know, overwhelmed me. And all the stories that I used to hear when I was a kid from mom and dad, it came to life visually now. From the place where mom and dad met in the high school, I passed by the school, you know.
That's crazy.
And then I went because my parents, my mom went to Marie Curie, and then they went up to Dalat to Yassin. So I passed all these things. This is where mom and dad met, you know. So all these things got to me. And from that moment on, it changed my whole perception. Literally a 180 degree turn. I came back as a changed person, proud of my heritage, proud of my traditions, seeing my people, right, babe? We always say that, you know, that's my people, you know? And I see, and at that time, you know, it wasn't as evolved that it was today. You know, every 2 years we go back, the city changes, it grows, it's really cool, you know? But at that point, it was still relatively poor.
Yeah.
So that's why we got to see the struggles and our people on the street, you know, working hard.
I can't wait to hear.
So I want to hear a story like that.
Hearing it,
right?
I'm like, oh, this is
crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, I do want to, that makes me want to go even more because that is very interesting. Because I do feel like the Asian American usually does feel like there's not a place for us. Or there hasn't been a place for us, you know, in a sense, growing up just because of how culture has been.
But I mean,
that's really interesting.
Don't think that that place is for you too, because I don't want to like throw some cold water on you, but like it gets a little bit, it gets a little bit like wacky because we're like, well, we don't belong there. We don't belong here. Yeah. We don't belong, you know?
We're
That's the craziest thing.
I agree, too.
With
I absolutely agree.
Diaspora kids, you know? Yeah. Like, it's the craziest thing. Where can we find Saigon Bon Bon? Where can people buy this?
As of today, we got two places you can get.
Okay.
First place is on our website.
Okay.
So, saigonbonbon.com. From what I've seen from all the orders, you get it within 2 or 3 business days after your order. So it's pretty good. And the second place is TikTok Shop directly as well, too.
Oh, okay. So no, like, retail, physical?
Right now, no. We're going to focus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the works. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to be in retail locations. Right now, we just want to make sure that things are going to go smooth. We want to make sure that our, you know, the operation side of the business, it runs well. Once that's going to be well oiled, then we can tackle more retail locations.
I'm not trying to be funny with this question, right?
Okay, all right.
I'm not trying to be funny. I've had a lot of people ask me this after that event.
Oh, I know exactly. I know where you're heading.
When is the magic gummies coming?
I knew.
Everyone talking about it. Yeah, it's like, wait.
Oh,
gummy? I'm like, no. Next year.
Keep this and then the magic will happen. You just have to believe it. Believe it.
So the funny thing about that is that something like a CBD or, THC actually would help Valhun from her Parkinson's.
Right.
It actually calms her down. Right. And we have, you know, experimented with some gummies before for Valhun. So it's coming. Whoa, calm down.
I'm looking for more, too.
Yeah.
Because the reason I don't like gummies, those types of...
I mean, we're in California. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, I have to say, I've tried before. I mean, I'm not a fan of it. I wasn't a fan of it. It calmed me down. But for some reason, if I felt like I was not in control of myself. That's just, it's an honest feeling. Because I'm not saying that I didn't know what I was doing, but it's just that if you feel like I was just like,
yeah, you had control.
It was not the feeling that I wanted. Yeah.
We gotta do some testing.
Yeah.
Michael and I are,
you guys can be our guinea pigs, right? Yeah, we're being our guinea pigs. I think the answer to that and to any type of expansion is we're gonna let the people decide.
The young people decide, right? Young guys decide.
Well, why not, right? Yeah. Why not? We'll see. If there's a path to that, if people are seem to be interested in that, it seems that after our party that day,
everybody came up to me and asked me.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good, though. Because, like, even just in general, the supplements field, I feel like the storytelling with what we have,
yep.
I feel like that's just the natural progression that we're going to have. Because, obviously, the older generations, like, in general... The youth, I mean, all of us, I think, right now, we're all focused on trying to live healthier, live better, just longer lives. And obviously, a lot of what we're eating and day-to-day stuff, it doesn't give us enough nutrients of what we need. So I think providing it, I think we're like the perfect incubator.
Yeah.
It's just multivitamin.
Well, I want to thank all three of you, Michael, Valhun, T, for spending time with me today. It's a real honor and I'm really like a big privilege to really sit amongst, you know, visionaries. That's how I think about you.
Wow.
And this product is very, you know, like I said, it's very elegant as a candy.
Right. Thank you.
I shouldn't be eating, but I had like 12 of these already. Yeah. I'm just counting.
It's only 4 grams.
Yeah, it's tiny.
Yes. Thank you so much, Kenneth, to have us here. You know, congratulations on your podcast. I think that you may or may not know, but the impact that you're doing as well to contribute to the visibility of Vietnamese in America is underestimated. So we thank you for creating platforms like this for us to be able to exchange and share. So great success in the future as well.
And I want to add this because I know you guys spoke about having a podcast studio. I always encourage every Vietnamese person to have a podcast because it's amplifying, right? If we have a bunch of lily pads out there, like 100 of them, then we all jump in each other's shows and we can do this.
Yeah.
100%.
You know, and so...
And a bit of what we just talked about, where it becomes a place where we exchange young and old, new and fresh, you know, I think it'll be a really good opportunity.
It's exponential. It's exponential. So when you guys are up and running, you know, please let me know. And
absolutely.
Michael, I would love to invite you back to talk about your career.
Yeah, I would love to.
And after you get back from Vietnam, I want to hear... You know what you thought of it.
Okay, sounds good.
Can you say
yes,
that's for you. Just simply because I didn't have a chance to say it before, because you know, you brought up the party and the speech that you know that both of actually he and I had. And first of all, it's been over a week and I haven't had a chance to thank everybody for you, for those who came the night, and of course those and the ones that wrote about it. and posted on social media. It's been an overwhelming week for me. I haven't had a chance to respond because I apologize, but it's coming because there's so much I want to say, and I haven't been able to put in words the emotions. You know, it was like euphoria for me because I felt so loved and I felt so supported. It was just all that night was just it was very much the vibe in that room was all about love and support. And I don't want to cry because I told myself I'm not going to cry again. But I just wanted to thank everybody, and it's coming from here, and I'm gonna talk about it soon. So thank you guys so much. Thank you again.
Thank you, all three of you. Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Vietnamese with Kenneth Nguyen. Special thanks to Brittany Tran, to Jane Nguyen, Catherine Nguyen, Tina Pham, Sydney Jamie, and Crystal Trinh. Please find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok @The Vietnamese Podcast.